This presentation has been previously broadcast.
This is the Drew Mariani Show. Where else can you pray with thousands of other listeners every day? Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, where we're here for you on Relevant Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you for joining me to pray the chaplet. We are on the seventh day of our novena of chaplets leading up to the great Feast of Mercy, and I'm glad to pray this with you today. And, of course, I'll be praying live Tuesday. I'll be praying live Sunday with Father Rocky, the great Feast of Divine Mercy. And Father and I, it's going to be a very simple presentation, but I think it'll be a spirit-filled event. I mean, Father will lead us, you know, with some words. I will pray the chaplet with you on a day in which the Lord promised extraordinary graces, torrents of graces, the day that the floodgates of his mercy would be open. And on that day, I would ask for big things, man. I'd ask for miracles. I'd ask for the impossible. I've done that, and I've seen the fruit of that prayer. That's why I love this day. One of my favorite days on the church calendar. So, Father and I will be there at 3 Central Time. So, 4 Eastern and, of course, 1 Pacific. I hope you'll join us. Set your phone right now or your tablet and be sure to tune in at least to pray the chaplet, okay? It'll be great. There'll be some other opportunities for wherever you are. Just take a few moments and really thank God for his great mercy. All right, that's coming. Also, just final programming note, I will be talking today and tomorrow about my book, and then that's it. So, last call, right? That's it. The door is now closing, and if you want the book Divine Mercy, in which it's a treasure, I think, to have every year, because it gives you everything you need to know about the Feast of Mercy, everything you need to know about the chaplet, about the image, the hour of mercy, the diary, about St. Faustina, about God's mercy, about the afterlife, about prayer. I mean, there's so much in this. It's such a treasury of material and some great stories that are in it. It's free. All you have to do is go to relevantradio.com. And you can go ahead and register right there. We'll send it out to you. No shipping, no handling. If you don't have the internet, you can always write and request a book. So that's another way that you can get the book. Just write in and say, hey, I need it. But you know what? Like I said, only so many copies. It's already at the printer. So first come, first serve right now. And when they're out, that's it. But it will be getting shipped to you. I've been told that they just ran it. So it's hot off the press, as they say. All right? It'll be coming your way. I received an email yesterday from a listener, and we're going to ask you to pray for this. Colleen, thank you for sending this along. She says, Drew, would you pray for our great nephew? His name is Logan, and he was found today. This was yesterday when she wrote to me. Unresponsive in a retention pond at daycare. He's only 17 months old. Right now he's at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. Would you please pray the chaplet and please ask as many people as you can to pray for him? We need a lot of prayers. I listen to you almost every day, and I really believe in the power of this prayer and especially the chaplet. Thank you for your willingness to pray. I can't think of a more horrifying thing than to find your 17-month-old child in a retention pond at daycare. I mean, that's every parent's nightmare. I found my daughter under several inches of water. She had a convulsion and was blue and unresponsive when I found her. I actually write that story in the book. I tell you about the power of the chaplet to literally save her life and to save her mind. She could have been brain damaged. But God's mercy is so great. I've seen the power of this prayer. I've used it. And God has honored those prayers. I know he'll honor those prayers for you right now, and I do want to pray for you in a big-time way. I'm joined by Suzanne, my colleague here. She prays every Thursday with me. Suzanne, good afternoon. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for having me.
Anything you want to pray for or lift up as we begin?
I do. I spoke to a listener today about her daughter who's being cyberbullied and bullied at school. So I just want to lift up intentions for all children and adults that are suffering the effects from being bullied.
Yeah, it's rough. All right, well, we'll lift that intention up. I want to pray for Father Spitzer. He tells me he listens late at night. I know this show rebroadcasts. I think he's out on the West Coast, probably 3 in the morning, 1 in the morning, something like that. So, Father, if you are listening tonight, I know you say you stay up and pray the chaplet. I'm going to lift up all of your intentions, too. He's such a wonderful man. All right, and let's pray for you. Whatever your needs, wants, and desires are, of course, if you're on hold, I'll do my very best to get you on the air. Oh, let's start today with the intention the Lord has asked us to pray for. Today is the seventh day, and he says to me, today, bring to me souls who especially venerate and glorify my mercy. This is our day, right? Those of us that pray this chaplet, those of us who promote it, I love this. Bring to me souls who especially venerate and glorify my mercy and immerse them in my mercy. These souls sorrowed most over my passion and entered most deeply into my spirit. They are living images of my compassionate heart. These souls will shine with a special brilliance in the next life. Not one of them will go into the fire of hell, and I shall particularly defend each of them at the hour of death. That's one of my favorite promises. You will shine with a special brightness in the next life. You will not go into the fires of hell, and the Lord will defend you, especially at the hour of your death. Spread the message of mercy. All right, live it. Be a witness to it. Most merciful Jesus, whose heart is love itself, receive into the abode of your most compassionate heart the souls of those who particularly extol and venerate the greatness of your mercy. These souls are mighty with the very power of God himself. In the midst of all afflictions and adversity, they go forward confident in your mercy and united to you. Oh, Jesus, they carry all mankind on their shoulders. These souls will not be judged severely, but your mercy will embrace them as they depart this life. Eternal Father, turn your merciful gaze upon the souls who glorify and venerate your greatest attribute, that of your fathomless mercy, and who are enclosed in the most compassionate heart of Jesus. These souls are a living gospel. Their hands are full of deeds of mercy and their hearts overflowing with joy. Sing a canticle of mercy to you, O Most High. I beg you, O God, show them mercy according to the hope and the trust that they've placed in you. And let there be accomplished in them the promise of Jesus, who said to them that during their life, and especially at the hour of death, those souls who will venerate his fathomless mercy, he himself will defend as his glory. Amen. And we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Our first call comes today from Cass, listening in Pennsylvania. Hi, Cass. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I have a few intentions for the Divine Mercy prayers.
Sure.
I have relatives that have cancer. They both are dead right in the middle of their therapy with their cancer, and we're hoping and praying for some answers that maybe we could get that cured. And also, I am having surgery Monday, and I just am hoping and praying that my surgery goes well and everything comes out all right for me and then my family and all our health issues that we have.
All right, well, let's pray for that, all right? We'll pray for your surgery especially. We'll pray for health. I think everybody has certain needs in that area, and Cass will lift up those family members with cancer. And Lord, you heard all of her intentions. I do pray for those who carry the cross of cancer. Lord, I thank you the way you've worked in my wife's cousin's cancer. She was given 72 hours to live weeks ago, and things are looking much better. So we pray for her. It may be through cancer you bring her home. And I just pray for her family. I pray for all those who have loved ones that are suffering with cancer. And I pray for those that have to carry that heavy yoke. Be merciful. And Lord, allow there to be many miracles, many, many healings of cancer, healings of the body right now. Pray for those up, facing upcoming surgery and those who are now recovering. So we give you the body. We give you those temporal needs as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Christina is listening in Illinois. Hi, Christina. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I just need prayers for my great niece that's going to go into surgery. She's been with cancer, the brain, since she was 10 years old.
Oh, boy.
And she can't lift her, can't see from her right eye and her. She can't lift her right arm. So
Well, let's pray for her.
You know,
all right?
I have faith. I have faith in her. And my goddaughter that has MS also.
All right. Well, Christina, I'm going to pray for you too and for all your needs. Thanks for calling. And I often say, be at peace. Put your trust in the Lord. All right. Say, Lord, I'm giving you this situation. And then just rely on the power of your prayer. You know, really rely on the power of your prayer. That's our greatest gift. You know, the Lord told St. Faustina, a soul arms itself by prayer for all kinds of combat, whatever we face. It's prayer that is our greatest attribute and weapon and moves the heart of God. So I ask for miracles again. I pray for those with cancer, especially brain cancer, for this little girl. I pray for Christina and all the intentions that she's voiced. And I, again, give you the body seems to be the intention surgery today. But I also give you the other needs, those who are emotionally struggling, psychologically struggling, those who are financially struggling, those who have struggles in their relationship. Hear our prayers as we pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Philadelphia. Good to hear from the city of brotherly love. Love those calls. Hi, Paulette. Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, Drew. Thank you so much for taking my call. I listen to the chaplet every single day. But this is the first time I'm calling in. Our house, our family house in Philadelphia, suffered an explosion this past Tuesday. And my brother was trapped inside, and Good Samaritans were able to rescue him. I'm outside his room. He's in ICU in critical condition at Jefferson Hospital. So I'm asking for everyone to please pray that Lord's will, that he pulls through it. Thank you so much.
You got it. I'm glad you got through. And I hope this won't be the first time that you call. But you know something, Paulette, take comfort in the power of this prayer. We are really, I feel, in a relationship with one another. I mean, we have a spiritual family here. We pray for each other every day, and this whole spiritual family will come to your brother's aid right now, who's in critical condition. I pray for all those who are in critical condition. I thank you for this family of prayer. I know you hear you hear our united prayers. The Lord told St. Faustina, he says, have great confidence. Have great confidence. God's always our Father, even when He sends us these trials. And I know you might be going through a difficult time now, Paulette, but God is your Father, and He loves you. And I'm expecting great things from the moment of this prayer forward right now. Lord, I ask that her brother's condition change, and he begins the path to recovery. And I pray for all those facing impossible or critical situations now as we invoke your great mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Western Oregon next. George is listening to us there. George, thanks for praying with us. Good afternoon.
Yes, I'm praying for my sister Teresa, who's going to have some imaging this afternoon for a mass in her abdomen that's obstructing her bowels, and she has some other serious health issues. And I'd also like to pray for family, friends, and classmates that they return to the church if they've stopped practicing the faith. Okay, that's what I have to say.
You got it, George. Thank you very much. And again, we give you health, Lord. I mean, so many people waiting for tests, going through MRIs and PET scans and CAT scans and mammograms. And, Lord, you know the battery of tests. So many people are waiting for their test results to come back. I pray for good news. I pray for healing. Today, I really ask for that blessing, that for those who are crying out for it, Lord, that you will set their condition on a new path. And if it be your will in some cases, now I just ask for complete and total miracles to take place, for cancer to disappear, for the ailments to vanish, for new beginnings for these souls. I lift up George and his sister's health, but I pray also for this most important intention. We all have loved ones who have drifted from God, who have perhaps rejected God outright, who are in need of his mercy and who are in need of conversion. Lord, I pray for those who separated themselves from you. And I ask by virtue of these prayers, you give grace to those souls so that they may know your warm and loving embrace. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Our next call comes from El Paso, Texas. Tish, thanks for praying with us. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm going to be making my adult confirmation this Saturday, April the 10th, the day before Divine Mercy Sunday.
Wow.
So I'm very excited. And my father, he's going to be flying in a couple of hours from California. He's actually going to be my sponsor. So I just want to pray that everything goes well for me and for all those who are going to be confirmed officially on Saturday into the Catholic Church.
Well, first of all, congratulations. I am so happy for you. And what a day. You know, the vigil of the great Feast of Mercy. I just love that. I know graces are going to flow. You will feel the Spirit, and we're going to pray for you right now, okay? I'm going to ask whatever charisms God wants to give you. We just ask that Holy Spirit descend upon you and enlighten your mind and convict your heart and allow you to be a beautiful witness to the faith for others. You may grow deeper in it. And Lord, I pray that for all catechumens. I pray for all those who are going to be confirmed. I pray, Lord, for all those now who are united with me, that you just send your Spirit that you give us the grace to carry our crosses. You allow our hearts to burn with trust and faith. That you allow our eyes to see the tangible results of our prayers. So with trust, with confidence in your unfathomable mercy, we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us. And increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. Faustina,
pray for us.
St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
St. Peregrine,
pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
St. Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
All you holy souls in purgatory,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you for praying with me. Suzanne, thank you too. Appreciate that. And look, let's continue to pray for each other. I was thinking about this earlier. Let's also sacrifice. When you spend time with the Lord a little bit later, just remember your spiritual family here. I am praying for you constantly. Please, let's pray for our family. Join me and Father Rocky on Sunday at 3. We'll pray the chaplet live this coming Sunday on the Great Feast of Mercy. And this is one of your last few days to get the book on Divine Mercy. So I really hope you'll get it. I love it. I think it's going to bless you. Just go to relevantradio.com. Sign up for it. It's free. No shipping, no handling. Okay? Hey, I've got to just take a short pause. I'll be right back. Stay with me.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
They are more protected now than the younger people. In time, younger people will be equally as protected. So what you're saying is absolutely correct. We're seeing infections now, but the age range is skewed much more towards younger people. And although they can get seriously ill, the overall rate of hospitalizations in them is less than if you were an elderly person.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. It's always good to be here with you today. Your thoughts on a vaccine passport? We've done a lot covering COVID over the months. And of course, there's always something new, isn't there? I've said that to you before. We talked about the ethics of the vaccine at one point. We're taking a look at the different versions of it. Now we're seeing a real cultural, I think, you know, mindset or shift. I know a person who's a school teacher, and she's on the fence as to whether or not she's going to get the vaccine or not, right? And she and her husband weren't sure whether they're going to do it. And she keeps getting asked, you get your vaccine? Did you get your vaccine? Did you get your vaccine? And she's feeling pressured. She has a friend who's now in the hospital, and they're her age. And she's thinking, well, maybe I should get this. And it raises a lot of questions. I mean, she's got some concerns. I can respect and understand that. will we need at some point in time to be vaccinated in order to be able to travel? You know, I like to leave the country. I like to go on pilgrimage, right? Will you one day have to have your vaccine passport, just like if I went to Africa, I need my typhoid shot or my Hep B or A or whatever one it is, right? So it raises questions, too, in terms of where we are. Look, you might have your shot already. Will there be variants? Will the virus be changing? Will you need a booster shot? Or will this particular vaccine be antiquated in a little while? CNN, they were covering this possibility, if you will, as to whether or not we can expect another surge. Listen to what they said about whether or not that might be on the horizon.
We will see in the next 2 weeks the highest number of cases reported globally since the beginning of the pandemic.
The United States passing a huge milestone this weekend, averaging more than 3 million coronavirus shots in arms per day. But even as the country's vaccination efforts persist, some health experts worry the increase of COVID-19 variants puts the country on the cusp of a surge in cases.
There isn't a country in the world right now that is seeing a big increase in this B.1.1.7 that is not locking down. We're the exception. Now, I understand the absolute resistance in this country even to consider that. And, you know, it's kind of like trying to drink barbed wire. But the bottom line message is the virus is going to do what it's going to do, and we're going to have to respond somehow.
19 states have seen an increase in cases over the last week, including parts of the Northeast and Midwest. Cases are up 19% from 2 weeks ago, with young people making up a growing number of new cases. But health experts say that more vaccinations can keep a surge in check.
I don't think it's going to be a true fourth wave, but I think the Biden administration can allocate it to parts of the country that look hot right now. But if we could just get two or three more weeks of around 3 million vaccines a day, that's going to be a pretty big backstop against a true fourth surge.
Coming up in just a moment, Dr. Jay Bhattacharya is going to be stopping by, and we'll get his take on this. We'll take your calls too, if you want to join us. I always enjoy speaking to Dr. Bhattacharya. He's a brilliant man. He's got his finger on the pulse of what's happening here. And if you want to join me, it's 888-914-9149. Taking a look at a fourth possible surge. How many more variants will we see? And is your vaccine, if you've been vaccinated, enough? A lot of people still have not been vaccinated. In fact, a lot of people haven't. And the president is pleading with people, get vaccinated. Here's what President Biden is saying.
By no later than April 19th, in every part of this country, every adult over the age of 18 or older will be eligible to be vaccinated. I understand that people may find it confusing that the vaccination program is saving tens of thousands of lives, but the pandemic remains dangerous. Let me explain it in a single word. Time. Time. Even moving at the record speed we're moving at, we're not even halfway through vaccinating over 300 million Americans. This is going to take time. The virus is spreading because we have too many people who, seeing the end in sight, think we're at the finish line already. But let me be deadly earnest with you. We aren't at the finish line.
See, and just using common sense, as I sit back here and I listen to the president, I'm thinking, you know, the weather's getting nice, right? In a lot of parts of the country, a lot of people are going to be wanting to go out. They're going to want to lose their masks. What are you going to see? Will we see an increase? On Tuesday, the White House spokeswoman, Jen Psaki, she made a statement to reporters about the idea of having a national vaccine passport. So let's say you want to go to a ball game, right? A baseball game, or you want to go into the restaurant, or you want to do whatever. Will some places only let you in if you can prove you've been vaccinated? She said, hey, look, let me be very clear on this. She says, the government is not now, nor will we be supporting a system that requires Americans to carry a credential. There'll be no federal vaccination database. There'll be no federal mandate requiring anyone to obtain a single vaccination credential. Well, there has been some speculation that the Biden administration was going to require some kind of way to tell others on the national scale that you've been vaccinated. I know there's some apps and things that are out there like that. The administration got a lot of kickback, a lot of feedback when this whole idea of a vaccine passport was floated. Boy, it did not go over well. A lot of people were concerned. Even the ACLU didn't like the idea of this. So, but that statement, it comes after Texas and Florida have banned the use of so-called vaccine passports. Idaho, Utah, the governor of Iowa it said, look, she intends to take action against them either through legislation or through executive action. And that's being interpreted by the mainstream media as a Republican effort to ramp up the culture wars. In Texas, you've got the governor there, Governor Greg Abbott, who's a Republican. He's come out very clearly and says, look, not in my state. There'll be no vaccine passports here. Here's what he said. Listen.
Every day, Texans return to normalcy as more people get the COVID vaccine. In fact, this week, Texas will surpass 13 million doses administered. Those shots help slow the spread of COVID, reduce hospitalizations, and reduce fatalities. But as I have said all along, these vaccines are always voluntary and never forced. Government should not require any Texan to show proof of vaccination and reveal private health information just to go about their daily lives. That is why I issued an executive order that prohibits government-mandated vaccine passports in Texas. We will continue to vaccinate more Texans and protect public health, and we will do so without treading on Texans' personal freedoms.
Right, so let's talk about this whole idea of so-called passports. Good idea, bad idea, where are you on it? You know, if you've been vaccinated, you want to be able to show you've been vaccinated, right? The White House, as you heard the press secretary say, that she's concerned about privacy issues, and that's the main reason they're saying they're not going to pursue the idea. That's not a concern for New York. New York rolled out a system that gives you either a big green check mark on your phone or a big red X, right? You get the big red X or the big green check mark to show whether or not you've gotten shots or whether or not you've been tested negative for the virus. And every state, I think, is going to handle this differently. I think New York is handling it very differently than Texas. But look, private industry is another matter. And the travel industry especially wants to have some kind of protocols in place knowing who's been vaccinated, who hasn't. You saw how the airlines have been decimated by COVID-19. The cruise industry especially wants to see this happen. They want to get back to sailing. There are some who wonder if that might happen with even grocery stores or pharmacies or malls. You know, and what if you couldn't shop in your local grocery store unless you prove that you've been vaccinated? Raises some questions. I'm joined, as I said today, by Dr. Jay Bhattacharya. He teaches at the Center for Primary Care and Outcomes Research at Stanford University School of Medicine. And he's a specialist in infectious disease. He's been with us over the years and or over the months. And if you want to join us, you can dial in too. Doctor, thank you for your time. Always great to talk with you.
Yeah, real pleasure to be back on the show.
So, yeah, let me start with a story with you, and I'd like your take on this. It's a story out of Colorado where a vaccination site that was – they were using the J&J, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. They closed early. I saw this story earlier today because the J&J vaccine, people were having reactions to it. And then some European countries have, again, shut down distribution of AstraZeneca in that vaccine because of clotting issues. Those are the two vaccines that concern me perhaps the most just because of the, you know, their proximity to the cultured abortive fetal cells. But are those reactions normal? And are people having greater success with Pfizer, Moderna, some of the alternatives?
I mean, all the vaccines have some rare possibilities of side effects. The question is always in medicine is, Is it right to take it? Is it going to be on net beneficial? You consider the benefits and you consider the possibility of harm, and of course you should absolutely consider your ethical stance toward how the medicine was produced. I mean, I think all of that is completely reasonable. On net, COVID is incredibly difficult, harmful for people who are older. Thousandfold difference in the risk of disease and risk of death and hospitalization for people who are older and with some chronic diseases than people who are much younger. So it's a no-brainer question to take the vaccine if you're a vulnerable group. Yeah. And actually, we've done quite well in the United States. I think something on the order of very close to three quarters of elderly people have been offered the vaccine nationwide. What we're going to start to see is a divergence between cases and deaths. Whereas in the past, every time you saw cases go up, deaths would inevitably go up with it. Now we're going to see the cases may go up, but the deaths won't go up with it. It's going to decouple cases from deaths, and we have to start to train ourselves not just to look at cases. The key question is whether the disease is still dangerous in the population. And I think it's much less dangerous now that we've sort of been successful at vaccinating many of the vulnerable people.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, yeah, I'm wondering about the future. There's a doctor. His name is Dr. Michael Osterholm. He's director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota. And I was reading a piece, probably just a couple of days ago from him. And he says that the latest COVID-19 surge, and we know a lot of nations are really being impacted by this, there's been shutdowns. He says it's put the world in a Category 5 hurricane status, and that the U.S. is on the brink of a fourth surge of this virus. What are you seeing? I mean, I know right now people are feeling, hey, I'm vaccinated. It looks like, things are turning around. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Are we on the verge of a Category 5 hurricane status with COVID-19?
I mean, cases are going up in the Northeast. The places where they've locked down on the most, the cases are going up. In places where they've lifted lockdowns, like in Texas and Florida, the cases especially Texas, they've gone down pretty sharply. I think really cases are the wrong metric. To just say it's a Category 5 hurricane means that we're going to expect to see the hospitalizations and deaths that we saw around the world last year. With the vaccination effort fairly successful in protecting the elderly, I don't think that's going to be the case.
Yeah. This B117 variant, the one from the UK, I was reading it was anywhere from 50 to 100% more infectious, and it causes also more severe illnesses, 50 to 60% of the time, and it's almost like having a whole new pandemic descend upon us. Are the vaccines that people have already gotten, are they going to be enough to protect them against the B117 variant? And for, as you heard Joe Biden mention in his piece, that we still have a long way to go. A lot of people have not been vaccinated. So for those who've not been vaccinated, could we see, a fourth wave as we're talking about? And what do we know about B117? And it's a little frightening when you hear it's more infectious and it's more severe in terms of the illness it descends upon those who are afflicted with it.
There's actually really good news about that. The vaccines are actually protective against severe disease and death, even against those variants, including the B117 and the South African variant and the Brazilian variant. But there's just good news coming out all over the place about that from the scientific literature in terms of protection conferred both by previous natural immunity and also the vaccine. So the variants will not change that fact. Like if you'd had it before, a disease before, you're still protected even against the variants. If you are vaccinated, you're pretty well protected against the variants. I mean, you could still get a mild cold for the variant, but again, that's not such a big deal. The other thing is, the other question you asked about the surge, B117 emerged in the UK. And in fact, as it spread through the UK, the number of cases dropped dramatically. It's a little bit more infectious, but it doesn't change the fundamental path of the disease in any substantial way, especially regarding deaths now that we've vaccinated such a large fraction of the vulnerable population.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I want to go take a few calls for you. I'll do that in just a second. But just on this B117 variant that I've been a little concerned about because, I'm hearing guys like Osterholm saying that the U.S. is the only country currently experiencing increasing number of cases due to this variant, and at the same time opening it up, not closing down. I know there have been several nations in Europe that are once again in lockdown. And as you heard in the piece that we ran here too, I mean, look, nobody wants to be, they don't want to go through another lockdown. So the two are basically going to collide. He says we're going to see substantially increased numbers of cases. Does lockdown help? Do we need to do something? We need to pump the brakes again, doctor? I mean, what do you see coming as weather warms up, as more people want to lose the mask, as people want to get back to life? How's the U.S. faring, and can we learn from our neighbors in Europe?
I mean, the disease certainly is seasonal. The high season last year was, in the Northeast was April, May, March and April. So in that sense, it's not surprising that we're seeing this increase in cases in that area. It's seasonal. Whether we're likely to see a large number of cases this summer in places like Texas and Florida, I mean, it seems like we have a lot larger fraction of the population already immune. It's not going to be the same scope as last year. As far as lockdowns, they didn't work last time. They didn't prevent us from having the disease. Why would we expect them to work this time, especially if we have variants that are more infectious floating around?
So true. I'll tell you, let me take a short pause. When we come back, I think Melanie's on deck. We'll take some calls. If you've got a question, feel free to join us. We'll also take a look at vaccine passports. Are you opposed to them? Are you open to the idea of them? Are they good? Will they help keep, you know, society safer? Will they help reduce the spread? Will they keep you safe? We'll take a look at that, your privacy rights, and so much more. Stay with me. I'm back right after this.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
It's the Drew Mariani Show.
Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Thanks for joining me. Hey, just taking a look at the latest when it comes to COVID-19. There was a Wall Street Journal article I saw that said herd immunity is near despite Fauci's denial. And that's a really big talking point for me. I mean, where are we when it comes to herd immunity? How many more vaccinations need to be done? Also, another big story that's resonating with a lot of people. There was talk over the past several days about vaccine passports, and there are some people who are very concerned about getting these passports. And I'll tell you why. In one case, I had heard somebody made a great case for their concerns about where these passports could ultimately lead, and they're concerned about, you know, discrimination that will come with these particular passports, and it makes sense. You know, my guest today is Dr. Jay Bhattacharya. We've been talking about this. We'll take your calls too, as I promised. And Doctor, I know you wrote an article for the Wall Street Journal as well. You're not a fan of vaccine passports. Why is that?
I mean, for some of the reasons you've outlined, actually, Drew. So it does absolutely will create two classes of people. Vaccinated or not vaccinated, and say to essentially the non-vaccinated, you're an outcast. You cannot participate in regular life. As a way to try to get people to vaccinate, essentially it's a very coercive thing. It's saying, we're going to take away your right to fly, even though now you can fly, even though you have the vaccine. We're going to take away your right to go to a restaurant. If your wife is vaccinated and you aren't, well, you can't go to the restaurant together with her. It's a very coercive kind of mechanism to try to get people to be vaccinated, when a much better approach is to tell people, look, these vaccines are great. That here's the evidence that it's really worthwhile to get for you. Tell people the truth about them. I mean, good public health messaging can go a long way. This kind of coercion will breed distrust in public health.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, let's take a few calls. Springfield, Oregon. Melanie's been hanging out for a while, wants to join the conversation. Hi, Melanie. You're on the air with Dr. Bhattacharya.
Hi, you guys. So thank you for taking my call. And yes, I'm a nurse, and I feel very strongly against the passport. It would be very shaming to people, discriminatory, and it's a HIPAA violation as far as I'm concerned. And I know that in my hospital, if people don't get a flu shot, they have to wear a mask all season long. And those of us who do get flu shots get a little sticker. Well, when I started thinking about the COVID vaccine, it's like, well, you know, all my friends who don't get it have been pretty much discriminated against and pointed out. So I took her off my name tag for the flu shot. I said, I'm never going to do that again, because it's not right, and you should never violate someone's right and force a vaccine on them. And they just voted in Oregon that there is no religious exemptions for vaccines for your children anymore, if you can believe that. And one of the doctors from my so-called Catholic hospital was in on that at the state level, and it's just appalling that anybody would take the rights away from individuals and parents. And there would definitely be discrimination. And no one trusts the CDC or the public media or anybody anymore, because first it was masks, then it was distancing, then it's a plastic thing, and you're distancing in the airport, but then you're crammed in like sardines in an airplane. I mean, it's just ridiculous the way all of this has gone, and no one trusts the CDC. And I know for a fact that patients died and were given post-mortem COVID tests, and it was positive. And person came in and died of a heart attack, but guess what? It's a COVID death, So I know all along the numbers have been overinflated, and it's just ridiculous. So anyway, thank you for taking my call.
Melanie, thank you.
And
Doctor, I'll let you respond. She laid a lot out there. The last statement is particularly intriguing, the fact that, and you've heard this before, that, yeah, there have been deaths that have been attributed to COVID that really aren't the case. But I'd love your take on what she said.
I mean, I think I absolutely agree with her about the using the passports. It dividing people. I mean, that is absolutely discriminatory. And to essentially one thing I can augment to what she said is, and I think is a huge error in public health, is we've shamed people in their behaviors regarding masks, for instance, or distancing, as if, and whenever someone gets COVID, the first question is, well, how did you get it? Did you fail? Public health should never use shaming as a tool to enforce behavioral change. It's a huge error, and at the root of why we're seeing this increasing distrust for public health. It creates social divisions, and it makes people wonder, well, what the real purpose is if you use these tools. Much better is to give good information to people and give people the tools to do the right thing. Particularly in this case, it would be to make sure that vulnerable people are protected from exposure, prioritized for the vaccines, and people who actually do get COVID are supported, given appropriate treatment, rather than shamed.
Right. Hey, you know, let me just take the other side for a minute on the whole vaccine passport thing, because there are people who say, what's wrong with it? I mean, you know, New York is doing it, of course. I don't like the big green check versus the big red X. But I mean, some say, hey, if you want to fly to Ghana or to Tanzania, you need your yellow fever card, you know, before you can enter that country. What if nations start requiring us to make sure that we have our COVID-19 vaccination shot, or airlines, because they know that it will impact their bottom line if people are spreading it and the economy gets impacted by it? I know we heard about HIPAA. We know about some privacy issues. But is there a way that there's a middle ground where people's privacies aren't compromised yet? There is a way to say, hey, you can be in this community of people here because we know everybody is safe. And again, I know it's such a fine line there, but I know there's a lot of people who say, I can see both sides.
Yeah, I mean, I think if there are some situations, some diseases for whom there's an enormous vulnerability and spread, where I think it might make some sense to have some kind of requirement, like, you know, but I think in this particular disease, for this particular case, we know who's vulnerable. We know that we can use the vaccine to protect them and other mechanisms to protect them. There's no good reason to label somebody who's at low risk that doesn't want the vaccine as a scofflaw and essentially deny them access to society, which is essentially what we would be doing. I think other countries may do this, but what they'll find, I think, is that they'll become pariahs. I mean, it'll be difficult to make people want to go there if they have to prove, you know, every 3 months you have the vaccine or whatever requirement they have. It's also discriminatory against the people who've had COVID. You know, a very, very large number of people worldwide have had it. Many of them are not going to need the vaccine because they're already immune. And you're going to say, okay, you can't participate in society even though you're immune. I think those kinds of considerations have to go into thinking about whether a vaccine is a good idea, a passport is a good idea or not. In this case, I just don't see the case.
All right, let's do this. We'll move along with another call. Central Coast, California. Danny, good afternoon. You're on the air with Dr. Jay Bhattacharya. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. I was fascinated by this comments from the governors and the press secretary saying they're not – government's not going to mandate a passport. I think it's kind of disingenuous and it's meaningless, because I believe the mandates are going to come from the private sector, from corporations to enter their stores, from the airlines, et cetera. So government's just going to sit by and say, well, we're not mandating it, but it's going to look similar to the discrimination and it's happening with social media companies, et cetera. The government's kind of standing back and letting them have their way. So it's pretty much meaningless
That's a great observation. That really is. So we may not see something mandated from the state, doctor, but what about United Airlines or, you know, the ball, you know, your Major League Baseball league, you know, or whatever it might be.
Like some of the states, like for instance, Florida, I think the Governor DeSantis has actually moved to not allow private businesses to do that. In a way, it's like the Jim Crow legislation. I mean, you know, back then the argument was, oh, well, you have separate but equal. Well, that doesn't work in a democratic society. So you don't have separate but equal. I mean, it's essentially if a state moves to do that, we're going to essentially have a kind of vaccine Jim Crow reinstituted in the society. It doesn't make any sense from sort of the American historical democratic perspective to have that kind of division on the basis of this kind of this, especially since this is something where, you know, medically, what you want to do is you want to treat people as individuals. Some people, it makes sense to give a vaccine, and some people make less sense. Children, for instance, I don't think really need a vaccine. Their COVID is actually not all that dangerous to them. And why would I want my child to be exposed to the albeit low risk of side effects on the vaccine when the COVID is not particularly dangerous? It's medically not right. So I think having this kind of mandate imposed even by businesses alone, I think is likely to backfire on the businesses that do it ultimately.
That's so true. And I never made the, separate but equal, the Jim Crow connection. I think that was really well said. I know you wrote an article for the Wall Street Journal. We're going to link over to that too on our Twitter page. Stay with me. When we come back, I only have the doctor for a few more moments on the other side. If you want to get in with your question or your comment, I'll do my best to get you on. If you're on hold, we'll do the same. The number here is 888-914-9149. It's always good to hear from you. Pull up a chair. We're taking a look at vaccine passports and much more. I'll be back right after your news and headlines. Stay with me.